Invite you to take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As we look into God's Word for a few minutes this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, the elder statesman, in the ministry for a number of years, is writing to the young man Timothy, who seems to be somewhat timid. And so Paul is trying to encourage him, and in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 3, we pick up this encouragement. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What do you fear?" You know, we have all kinds of fears. I read an interesting article where it identified, according to surveys, some of the most common fears that Americans have. And see if you can identify with any of these. On that list was spiders. You know, just small little dinky things, you know, we could crush them easily, but we fear spiders. Snakes, I would fall into that category. Heights. I had a friend, this guy was a tough guy, played football in both high school and college, and unfortunately, you know, from a spirit-filled, route, he would rather fight than, reconcile. I mean, he was a tough guy, but when you got him up off the ground in a high situation, then the guy just cowered in fear. There are those that fear water, enclosed spaces, tunnels and bridges, social rejection. There are those that fear failure. Some fear public speaking. They would rather have a root canal than get up in front of a large crowd and have to talk. Others fear death. You know, we have fears. Some are good, and some are rational, and some are not. When I was a young child, we lived in outside of Detroit, Farmington Hills, Michigan, elementary, early junior high, and I had an irrational fear. And that was being in the back boy's bedroom. I shared it with my brothers. Being in the back bedroom at night when it's dark with the curtains open. Now, if the curtains were shut, I was fine. And if the curtains were open and it was daylight, I was fine. But if it was dark outside, I was just deathly afraid of being in that room. And I remember as a child going back to the back bedroom and peering inside and seeing the curtains open, yet it was dark out, and standing outside my bedroom door just counting down seconds and then racing in there and closing those curtains and then sitting on the edge of my bed with my heart just about ready to pound out of it as I just something about being in that room alone, curtains open. Now, I had a brother that was 5 years younger than me, and I could be in the bedroom with him fine, and no problem. I guess in my mind, if the window monster came at me, I would get out first and let him get Stevie. I don't know what the deal is. Not all fears are rational. But, you know, fear is a natural, God-given emotion. It is through fear that our adrenaline starts flowing and our bodies gear up to fight or the run. It is the fear that stops most people from doing stupid things. I'm sure you've heard of the Darwin Awards, and it's stated that the Darwin Awards honor those who improve our gene pool by removing themselves from it in really stupid ways. And I'm sure you've heard them, you know, from time to time. Well, honorable mentions are those who do their best to remove themselves, try hard to remove themselves from the gene pool, but fall short. And this is an account of an honorable mention. It says an EMT in southern Georgia was part of a unit that responded to a call in Coffee County late one night. His EMT arrived at the scene, found an injured man lying on the edge of a field. He was covered with lacerations and bruises. He also had a prominent tire tread across his chest. That's an important clue. The injured man's companion then showed up on a racing model ATV, clearly intoxicated, and gave the following account. He and his injured friend had been drinking and riding around the field on the ATV when they sighted a stand of deer in the headlights. The friend, riding the back as a passenger, was struck with a great idea. "Hey man," he said, "if you quarter off one of those deer, bet you I could bulldog him." And that is, wrestle him down like a cowboy would wrestle down a steer at a rodeo. So the driver thought that this was an entertaining idea, so he proceeded to isolate a buck and race him down. His intoxicated passenger proceeded to leap from the ATV. He grabbed the buck by the antlers and performed an excellent example of the rodeo sport. He pinned the animal's head to the ground, but that's when things went wrong. The buck, less docile than a steer, simply got up, threw his head back, and tore into his assailant. The deer then proceeded to stomp, kick, and butt him for good measure. See, that individual had lost an important function, and that was fear. Okay? Well, the EMT noticed that this information accounted for all of the injuries except for one. When he asked the driver about the tire tracks across the injured friend's chest, the driver responded, "Well, how else was I supposed to get the deer off of him?" And so the award concluded, "I don't know which is worse, a drunk trying to wrestle a grown male deer like a steer, or a moron who runs over his injured friend to scare away the righteously angered animal." And so fear is really a good thing. Hopefully fear will keep us from doing something stupid enough to get in the Darwin Awards. But the reality is, fear can also have a negative side. Fear can hamper our Christian witness, our service for the Lord. And it appeared that at times, that was happening to Timothy. So, fear can have, what impact can fear have on our Christian service and utilizing the gifts that God has given to us? Well, we may fear rejection or ridicule. We may fear exposure to the unknown or an uncontrolled situation, and therefore we don't utilize the gifts that God has given to us. Thereby, we don't take advantage of opportunities to share the gospel. We may fear commitment or failure. Fear can hold us back from exercising the gifts that God has given to us. But the Apostle Paul here in verse number 7 identifies three qualities that can help us overcome fear. And if you're here today and fear is holding you back from serving the Lord and being an effective witness and utilizing the gifts that God has given to you, then these three qualities, all natural outworkings of the Holy Spirit, can help you overcome fear. Let's look at that verse again, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Three qualities that can help transcend fear. The first quality that can help us overcome fear is power. That is, in order to overcome fear, we must focus on God. You see, the word there is dunamis. It denotes great force or energy. It is the word that we get our English word dynamite. It is like dynamite as a road builders are working through the mountain. They'll use dynamite to move a massive mountain. And it is a power of God that moves in the hearts and lives of individuals. The problem is sometimes what we do in service is we get our eyes on self and then we have great reason to fear. But if we focus on God, that can help us transcend fear. Now, look at what Scripture says relative to the natural man. Here's how Scripture describes the natural man. It says in Ephesians that they are dead in trespasses and sins. The natural man is alienated from the life of God. The natural man is at enmity or hostile against God. It says that they are not able to receive spiritual things because they consider them to be foolish. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says that they are taken captive by the devil at his will. It goes on to further describe a natural man as being blinded by the god of this world. And the question is, how can we, with our natural wisdom, how can we, with our cunning words, change an individual that is described like that? And the answer is, we can't. But God can. And whenever we come to the Lord in service, utilizing the gifts that God has given to us, what we need to do is we need to focus on God, realizing that God is going to be the one that will change the heart. God will change the mind. You know, there's a different paradigm in Christian ministry today. There is one famous author who wrote a book, a church growth book, and in that book he says, anyone can be won to Christ if you discover the key to his or her heart. Well, it's too bad the Apostle Paul didn't know that truth, because there are a lot of people he did not reach. The fact of the matter is, if we want to overcome fear, it is only through the power of God, as the power of God changes a life. And so if you want to overcome fear, number one, focus on God. Number two in that verse, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. In order to overcome fear, we must focus on others. You see, the word there is the agape love. It is the volitional and selfless kind of love where we give ourselves over to one another. We are more interested than another individual than we are ourselves. Now, those of you that have children, you understand what agape love is all about. I have 4 children. I have 6 grandchildren. I love all of them. Suppose we're at the lake and one of my grandchildren now are out in the water and begin to flounder in the water. What would I do? I would immediately run into that water without fear of self-preservation. Why? Because my focus is on my grandson or my granddaughter. And you know, when we come to the place where we are more concerned with others than self, then we will be able to overcome fear. We see examples of that where a soldier falls on a grenade to save those around him. The father who enters the building, a burning building, to save a child, or a stranger who may dive into freezing water to save a drowning individual. These are individuals that were focused on others. We see the testimony of our Lord. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so if we want to overcome fear, number one, we need to focus on God. Number two, we need to focus on others. But there's a third quality here, again, a natural outworking of the Holy Spirit that will help us overcome fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, what does Paul mean by a sound mind? Power and love are a little bit easier concepts to get our mind around, but sound mind, sound-mindedness? Well, the original word there means the act of making sober or calling to soundness of mind. And the basic concept here is controlling oneself for that which is most important. So in order to overcome fear, we must focus on our purpose. We understand why we're here. We understand the very purpose in life. That is certainly to give honor and glory to God. That is the goal in our life. Our goal is not just to gain wealth and material possessions and rise to social status. No, our purpose and goal, sound-mindedness, is to give glory and honor to God. You know, if we focus on that concept, sound-mindedness that will help transcend fear. We had a group of young people who traveled over to downtown Milwaukee to work with the local church there to do canvassing. And so we gathered there at the church. The pastor handed out material and explained that in this particular neighborhood where we were going, it was bilingual. So there were homes that spoke English. You were probably going to run into a home that did not speak English but spoke Spanish. And so the instructions were simple. Just when you run into one of those homes, just give them some gospel material that's in Spanish-speaking gospel material, and in do your best to encourage them to read that material. And so the bus went into the neighborhood, and we were dropping students off at each street. There were two on each side of the street going house to house. And two girls on one side of the street stopped at a house, and an elderly man came to the door. Now, he did not speak English. Neither of them spoke Spanish. So they did what the pastor asked them to do. They pulled out their Spanish gospel material, gave it to the individual, encouraged him the best they could to read it, and then they left and went on down the street to the various homes. A few minutes later, this elderly man's adult son came home and found his dad there reading the gospel material on the table. And the dad said to his son, "I need to find these girls because I want to know more about what is being what I'm reading here." And the son said, "Dad, these girls are long gone. We'll never find them." But the father was insistent. "I've got to go look for them. I got to see if I could find them." And so, the adult son helped the elderly man out to the car, and they began to drive up and down that street in the inner city of Milwaukee. And sure enough, they saw the girls as they were walking down the sidewalk. And he pulled the car over to the side, helped his dad get out, flagged the girls over. And there on the city streets of the inner city of Milwaukee, two girls shared the gospel of Christ with an elderly man using the adult son as an interpreter, and there presented the gospel of Christ to that individual. Now, how does that happen? How do you orchestrate that? Fact is, you don't. It's the power of God that works in a heart and life of an individual. It happens because individuals had love for them and they were more interested in others and they understood their purpose in life. Rather than just staying back at the dorm and relaxing, they wanted to do something for the glory of God. You may be here and as a believer being held back by fear. Over and over, in order to overcome that fear, you need to focus on God. You need to focus on others. You need to focus on your purpose. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, as Pastor was talking about earlier in the service. If that's the case, you do have reason to fear. Scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And we will all give an account. The fact that those that don't know Christ as Savior will stand before the Lord without having their sins forgiven. But you can be forgiven through the sacrifice of what Christ did for you on the cross. By accepting God's free gift of salvation, you can be reconciled to God. No need to fear at that point. And I trust if you're here and you don't know about your eternal state, you've never settled the sin question, I trust that before you leave this church today, that you'll get that taken care of. And as a believer, remember, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, for your word.